Welcome to episode 261 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Whilst I was filming and shooting at the Mind Over Mountains event in the Lake District a while back, I had a really nice chat with one of the attendees about camera choice. Now, in many ways, it was quite a typical conversation, exactly what you'd expect, but what was interesting was how it progressed into an impromptu lesson in how to get the most out of even the simplest camera setup. And it's a few thoughts surrounding this which I'm sharing with you in this week's show. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 261. It is just about 10 to 6 in the late afternoon, and as I record this, it's 27 degrees according to the readout in my car, and I am on the M42 heading back down country from a lovely weekend working with my good friend Alex Staniforth and the team from Adventure Uncovered. At an event that they put on for people called Mind Over Mountains. Now, I won't go into great length about what that was about. I will link in the show notes to the event because there are other podcasts relating to this this event from the weekend. But I'm sat here, you know, just mulling over the video footage, the... I'm just going to slow down. My goodness, it's been a big old accident. The car really crumpled at the side of the road. So I'm just sat here mulling over the long weekend. I've just recorded a piece, a bit of audio about the kit and some considerations about the kit that I took and used. But I kind of wanted to just record a few thoughts about kit again, but not regarding what I was using at the event. So let me explain. A lot of people will see me at an event or at a photo shoot, and they'll see my cameras. And, you know, there will be the usual comments like, oh, that looks expensive, that looks heavy, or, you know, well, that's a serious bit of kit, which all of those things are very true. But, of course, the old adage, the old cliche is, of course, that it's not the camera, it's the photographer. And over the course of the weekend, having some really, really lovely conversations with attendees as we were walking footpaths and going up mountains and sat there in the evening sort of having dinner or relaxing in the evening. I had some conversations about just taking pictures for the pleasure of it. You know, I was asked, do I do much? Do I just take pictures for me? The truth is, yes, I do, just because as I'm sort of going about my business day to day, you know, even if I'm just walking around, if something grabs my attention and visually I think it would make an interesting strong picture, then I'll take a shot. Very often that means it's on my iPhone because that's what I've got with me. But I'll give you a couple of examples from this morning, and this was the last day. Everyone went there from the Friday to the Monday. This is the Monday, the bank holiday Monday. So, walking along a track yesterday, I got chatting to a lady who was talking about her son, who is showing an interest in taking pictures. Now, I'm not going to necessarily label it as photography, because that young man, as I understand it, is just kind of, you know, it kind of resonated with me because it reminded me of when I was first sort of taking pictures. From what I understand, he's just enjoying, like, wow, you know, taking pictures and look how cool that looks. So it's not photography like a craft, it's just that raw pleasure of capturing an image, which for whatever reason, you know, excites him, gives him, makes him happy. And it often, that is all it needs to be. If you're not doing a commercial shoot, or you're not shooting stock, or you're not basically exchanging your imagery, your vision, whatever you want to call it, for money, well then that's what it is. So she was talking about this lady about, you know, birthdays coming up, and you know, does she just bite the bullet and buy her son a nicer camera because it looks as though he's showing a keen interest in, shall we now call it, photography, and it may well develop in that, or is it a case that it's just another fad, just like kids go through? You know, the conversation didn't revolve around, oh, what camera would you recommend, or, you know, there was, you know, the typical questions of which is a good make of camera, or, you know, looking to spend X number of pounds. Yeah, we didn't go into too much detail because, yeah, I didn't. Whilst I'm happy to advise, it's such a minefield when you consider camera selection, and everyone's usage is different, and, you know, some cameras, it can come down to some cameras just feel better in the hands than others. So I use Nikons, they feel comfortable, but Canon cameras, they don't feel uncomfortable. But I suppose, I mean, now of course I'm used to Nikon, I've been shooting on them for so long, but you know, whether you sort of have a point and shoot and all this sort of thing. So that was quite interesting to, you know, just what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of scale it back. Forget about the grand ambitions of taking, you know, sort of technical kit and everything. Just thinking about, just let your boy get out there and take pictures and enjoy it. And, you know, he doesn't need to be bogged down with, you know, loads of buttons, switches, bells and whistles. At that point in his enjoyment of taking pictures, that's not, you know, you just want to let him get on and do it. Now, I was also talking to a lady after breakfast this morning, and she was talking about, now it was about some pictures that she had taken on her iPhone, and I was trying to think what it was. I mean, we're talking about exposure, and I showed her a picture that I had taken quickly the previous morning on my iPhone with some dew droplets backlit on some blades of grass with a mountain and a tree out of focus in the background. You would not, to look at it, you would not know that it was taken on an iPhone. It was razor sharp, it was nice composition, the colours, the tones, the exposure was spot on. And we were talking about, I forget what originally started the conversation, but I said to her, I said, well, look, okay, I got my iPhone out, and I said, imagine we're taking a picture of this. I tapped the screen, and then I adjusted the exposure using the slider. And a lot of people don't realise that there is an exposure slider. Once you click, like tap on the screen to select the focus point, you then have like a bar to the right of the square that if you put your finger on the screen and slide it up, the image, even before you, this is before you take the picture, sorry, so you tap on it to select the focus point, you can then slide your finger up to lighten the image, or slide it down to darken it. Just like with the big cameras that I use, exposure compensation, it works the same way, or using manual exposure to kind of tweak how the image is going to look in camera. And this lady was genuinely surprised. She said, I didn't know you could do that. And the conversation progressed, and I said, well, that's really good, because you can start to, you can make sure that, you know, you've got the tonal range in the pictures, but the camera will want to do what it wants. Like, if you've got a bright light, like the sun or a lamp or something, just like other cameras, it will, your phone camera will think there's more light than there is, and so it will give less exposure, in other words, underexposing the image. So I used as an example, and if this, you know, is a revelation to you, and you're just intrigued about how you can tweak your images on your iPhone as you shoot them, try this as a reference. So we were in the bunkhouse, this hostel, and lovely bright summer's morning. Now, through the kitchen door, which led out to the front of the building, there was, like, for want of a better word, garden area, a stone wall, and then just land with sort of long grasses and hills, mountains, you know, everything just opens up in front of us. And lovely blue sky. The sun was, you know, wasn't visible, but it was already quite high in the sky. So I pointed my iPhone straight towards the door. It immediately, and it goes without saying the door was open, goes without saying that the camera immediately focused on the distance, the mountains, or the mid to far distance. I could have selected, you know, a part of the wall or something, you know, change the focus point. But I said to this lady, right, have a look at this image. Like, we didn't even take a shot. I said, the sky is well exposed, the mountain, you can see everything, so much colour, vibrancy, you know, because the light was so good. I said, now if you notice, if I just tilt my camera slightly, might tilt my phone, all of a sudden the camera reacts to the darker area, which was the inside of the door frame in the kitchen. Excuse me. And then all of a sudden, everything that's outside just blew out, completely went white. There was no detail, but of course you could see all the detail in the door surround. So what's happening there is, the camera thinks that there's not as much light, so it gives more exposure, so it correctly exposes the darker areas, and as a result you forfeit the highlights because they're now too bright to register in your photograph. And, you know, she was like, wow, that's really clever, and da 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 da. I said, so you don't have to let, you know, you now have an option. You have to kind of, it's a compromise at that point. You have to decide what gets sacrificed. Are you going to sacrifice the door frame so that you've got, that's like a silhouette? Or are you going to sacrifice the view? And it may well be, for whatever reason, that doesn't matter. Now, many of you might be listening to this and think, well, hang on, there's a setting on the iPhone called HDR, which is high dynamic range, and basically what that does, within one shot it will take the highlights, it will take the shadows and the mid-tones, it will mix them all together, and it will give you the, you know, pretty well the full gamut of shadows all the way up to highlights. So you should, a lot of the time, there are occasions where it doesn't always work, you should have that really good tonal and lighting range all in one picture, so you don't have to forfeit something. But it was very interesting to kind of, you know, just talk about the technology with those two people, and what was at the center of what they're both saying was just trying to capture a scene, not worry about getting bogged down with the technical, oh, what lens do I use, or do I need a tripod, or how much do I need to spend, you know, and no gizmos and gadgets. And even with iPhones, you can add stuff and you can use apps to kind of tailor your picture and have more creative control. But it was quite interesting, you know, when I talk to people, when they see me doing what I do with my big heavy cameras, it is nice in conversation to kind of not reassure them, but to kind of say, look, don't worry about all this heavy old stuff that I'm having to cart up and down mountains for 3 days. Just use what's in your pocket, your iPhone or your point and shoot camera. But know that there is a way, even using the most rudimentary, you know, basic setup, you can get creative pictures. There's camera trickery just in camera, working with perspective. You've probably seen it where excuse me, it looks as though someone has stood there holding their friend by a finger. It looks as though those people are dangling from their hand. And, you know, that's an example of where someone will be stood in the foreground, someone will be stood in the mid-distance, and you just coordinate. The person in the foreground stretches out their hand to the side, maybe, and holds it out with a gap between their thumb and finger. And the person behind them, sort of after the count of three, maybe sort of strikes a pose or just jumps in the air if you can get the timing right, and it can look really effective. There is no excuse me, there is no real trickery. There's no need to spend hundreds of pounds to get that effect. Same as with silhouettes. Silhouettes are produced where, you know, it's just working with light to create stark, strong shapes, you know. But it's interesting just to have these conversations. And I think maybe it's not so bad these days, since social media and iPhone phonography, all this sort of stuff has become more popular and more readily available. But there are still photographers that are very kind of snobbish, that for whatever reason, you know, oh, well, I'm a professional, da-da-da-da-da. Sometimes they get very defensive when someone tries to talk to them about that sort of thing, because they're thinking, yeah, you people, you're taking away my business. Well, that's very often not going to be the case anyway. But, you know, so photography, the outdoors, any creative industry, any pastime, what it comes down to is sharing your knowledge, giving and giving and giving, not expecting anything back. you know, I work with companies, I often give more than I say I will for the amount that they're paying me. That's just good business in a business sense, but in a people sense, that's just being nice to people. That's you know, just being a nice person, giving a good service and keeping people happy. And I'm always happy, you know, just by the mere nature of this podcast, you know. I just like sharing my knowledge, and so I'm always happy to have it, all these conversations about anything that concerns the nature of what I do. And then stuff outside of that. I mean, I don't generally talk about personal stuff, but, you know, in terms of working as a freelance, running a business, how I got into the industry, you know, kit considerations, I do get asked about quite a bit. And I'm, like I say, I'm happy to advise, but with a, you know, a caveat that just because I say this particular camera is worth looking at, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be right for you, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to give you the sort of pictures you want, because in your hands you may not be getting the best out of it, you know. No, it's interesting, I think, and it was kind of, those conversations fitted in very nicely with the tone and the pace of the weekend. Everyone's very relaxed, the mind over mountains thing, you know, it was about, you know, to do with mindset and mindfulness, and, you know, people came to the event with, you know, their own challenges, things that they're hoping to kind of find some clarity on. And like I said, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I've already spoken about it in another episode. But essentially, you know, Alex, who has heading up, is one of the key people, obviously, in this event. He, you know, he's taken on Everest and all this sort of thing, big snowy mountains. You know, and he'll often talk about, you know, people need to find what is their Everest. Yeah, it might be just getting yourself out of a rut. It might be, if you're talking about photography, it might be if you're trying to break into the industry or put a portfolio together or just trying to get people to take notice of your photography because you want to be even just earning a few quid at the end of, like, each month or at a weekend. You know, and that's what it's all about, you know. So I think I'm going to leave it there. As I record this, I've got a couple of hours, something like that, still to go. It's really, really warm. We're going to take on a bit more water. I've got a lot of water here that I can have. I probably at this stage won't stop unless I need to get more fuel for the car. But yeah, so just going to sit back, let my thoughts ponder over everything. You never know, I may even record another podcast whilst I'm at it. So, as I always say, if you've got any questions about anything that I've spoken about in this edition, or anything else concerning what I do, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. Haven't yet seen the Mind Over Mountains video, be sure to head on over to the website where I've placed it in its own post. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.